open up to the book of the Revelation and chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. When I was in Bible college, Dr. Sadler said it a whole lot more eloquently, but he gave us three things to think about whenever we get up. Number one, get up when you got the opportunity to preach. Number two, speak up what the Lord says in His Word. Then number three, shut up when you're done. Now, he was a little more eloquent than that, but that's basically it. But Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now, God willing, this morning we're just going to be preaching from 22:17 here. We'll be making references to other scriptures, but the Lord saved me when I was 18 years old. I had made false professions of faith two different times. Once when I was 7 years old, I remember the conversation I had with the preacher. Went up to the pastor and said, "Brother so-and-so, what do you mean, saved?" Mm-hmm. Well, man, he went from there, and I'm listening. You know, I'm a seven-year-old kid. I'm listening. And he said, "You agree with that?" "Uh-huh." "You agree with that?" "Of course I agreed with that." He was my pastor. Yeah. I was told you didn't disagree with the door, you get slapped, right? Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm sitting there, and I'm agreeing. Then finally, after it's all done, he says, "You're saved." And I'm like, "Well, how about that?" Never even changed. Now, granted, I wanted out carousing and drinking. But at the same time, there was no change in my heart. And it was evidence as I got older and stuff and things going on. And then when I was 17 years old, 16, I got under conviction. Man, I knew I was lost. I knew the things I was doing was wrong. And I will give this to the preacher. He never tried to lead me into prayer. He never tried to do anything to manipulate me. I just didn't know what was going on. But I said a few little words, and man, I thought everything was good. But again, there was no change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Amen. Doesn't mean you're perfect, no. But it means that your mind is changed about spiritual things.
Amen.
There is a new nature. You've been born again. You're different than you used to be.
Right.
Well, fast forward a couple of years. At this time, I was putting on a pretty good show in front of everybody. My parents, man, they thought I was a model kid. People at church, they wanted all their kids to run around with me. But I was a man that was like that whited sepulcher. Man, it looked good on the outside. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, I was full of dead man's bones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was giving forth a rotten stench. Not to everyone else, but my own mind and heart. Every night, I would go to bed. And I would turn on local Christian radio station. How many of y'all know who Lester Roloff is? Man, I still yet. He was not a theological genius. But I'm going to tell you something. The man loved the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
He was wrong about several things. But I believe he had the gospel.
Amen. Yeah.
And man, I'd listen to him at night. And you know, imagine being a parent hearing this. Going to bed, "Oh, listen, my son, he's so spiritual." He's listening to this radio preacher. "Oh, praise the Lord." But you know what? I was listening to that radio preacher because I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
There's something not right. And then as I would hear and as I would listen to Lester Roloff at night, man, I'd get burdened.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get convicted. Something is wrong. What's wrong with me? And that stinking Roloff, every time he would quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, and every time he did, it convicted me.
Mm-hmm.
And it burdened me. I'm not different. But you know what? I said the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I went down the Romans road. And babe, I went down the Roman's road a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be going through that saying, well man, I did the ABCs of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I did this, this, and this. What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget this. I was in a church play and we toured throughout Ohio, northern Kentucky, central Kentucky. And I had this one part, and I promise you, where I was going to at the time was not the most theological of giants. But there was this line in this play that I did. It was set to music. I wouldn't call it singing, Thad. But I was narrating. And it was this: I'm too bad to be good. Even if I wanted to, I could never be like you. I do the things I please and not the things I should. Because I'm too bad to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 49 years old. 31 years later, those words are burned in my head.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because that was a paraphrase of Romans 3, 10 through 17.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the wickedness of man.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just as easily said, I'm too dead to be good.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, those spiritual truths were found in those lines.
Amen.
And God used that. And one night we were doing the play, and I got so convicted of having heard the Word of God through the years, having heard Lester roll off at night, having repeated those lines over and over, and then seeing what they meant from the Word of God. God got a hold of me that night and saved me. Now, does that mean I've been perfect? No. But God did a work in my heart.
Amen.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. As I have grown in my faith in the Lord, as I've seen Scripture, what I've seen time and time and time again, I've been reminded and I've been shown and I've been, or the Scriptures have been proven true, that God does the work.
Amen.
And then after I've come to see these things, I'd always been taught the truths of God's sovereignty and salvation. Pretty much my whole life. We didn't call it the key words people call today, the theological terms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God does the work.
Yeah.
God does the saving.
Mm-hmm.
Especially my dad, I'd hear it all the time. Listen, son, you can't get saved except God do a work in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I come to see these great truths and I started seeing the Word of God, then I was called to preach. These things become more and more ingrained in my heart and life.
Yeah.
Then I started preaching. God called me. And I remember just so seemingly just talking to people and saying, well, the Bible says Ephesians 1, 4 through 11. You know, I just quote Scripture to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have people look at me and say, well, you're a stinking Calvinist.
Mm-hmm.
No, I ain't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Calvinist. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And I still don't like the term.
Yeah.
Let's just use what the Bible says.
Yeah.
All right? Or they'd say something like, well, man, you're one of those hard shells. No, I'm not. There ain't nothing hard about me. I didn't know what they were talking about. But you know what? As I started studying the Scriptures and seeing these things, I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, as I come to these things, I start preaching. I'd have people come up to me all the time, say, what about Revelation 22:17? Like that was the antidote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I knew this. It was, at the time, I didn't have all the answers, still don't.
Yeah.
But I remember studying that, looking at that, man. And then I'd say, but wait a minute. Something's wrong here. We know the problem isn't God's Word. The problem is my understanding of God's Word. And so I'd say, okay, well, Ephesians 1, 4 through 11 says God before the foundation of the earth chose. Don't know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Acts 13, 48. Those that were ordained to eternal life believe.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it says.
That's right.
But then I'd always go back to Revelation 22:17. In fact, there's something wrong here. And it's not God's Word, it's me. What's wrong? So I remember being interim pastor of a little church out in Buck Creek, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And man, on a Saturday night, I worked a full-time job. I was doing a lot of things. I was very young. about 23 years old, going to Bible college. And I remember one night just praying, Lord, I know the problem's me. Help me see what the problem is here. And I remember just very systematically looking at this word, looking at these scriptures, and just looking them out. Okay, let's take it section by section. And then it clicked. And man, I tell you what, it was almost like getting saved all over again.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, folks. God's Word says what it says.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing we can do is quit fighting it.
That's right.
Quit adding to it.
That's right.
We don't need to sit here and extol the virtues of certain theologians.
That's right.
We don't have to use the same terms everyone else uses. Yeah. Let's just look at what the Bible says. And God willing, today, that's what we're going to do here in Revelation 22:17. So let's look at this very quickly. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So let's break this down. The first part here is pretty simple. The Spirit and the bride say, come. First of all, you have to understand who it is that's speaking of here. The Spirit and the bride. So notice here first, the Spirit. Who is that? That is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is the one that gives, and we're going to talk about two calls very quickly, very briefly, the effectual call and the general call. What is the effectual call? Well, the effectual call, that is what? Effective.
Yeah.
All right, let's just make it real simple. Effective.
Mm-hmm.
Effective to what? Effective to bring people to Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
To show them their need, to bring them and save them from their sin.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple that a caveman could do it.
Yeah.
Except it takes God doing it, not a caveman.
Mm-hmm.
But then notice this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? Well, folks, all right, let me say something here. I'm going to let Grant get into all the nuances on this. He's your pastor. So here's the deal. Very simply, the bride, I believe, is the local New Testament church. Okay? If he wants to do a little nuances, that's fine. But that's a simplistic version. Okay? So the Spirit of God, and the bride say, come. How's that done? Well, we know that the bride, the Lord's New Testament church, goes out with the gospel. That is the finished work of Christ, and it's summed up in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. What does that sum up? That Jesus did it all.
Amen.
From beginning to end. So that's simplistically the gospel. The good news that Jesus did it all. Now we come to the next part. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So the bride preaches the gospel. Now, let me ask you a question. Does Grace Community Baptist Fellowship, did I say that right?
Yeah.
All right, good. It's a miracle. Do you all go around and just pick out randomly people? You're going to get saved. So you hone in on them, and you just preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. You twist arms, you get them in an arm bar.
Yeah.
The gospel arm bar. And you force them into Christ, right? No! That's not what happens. Your job, my job, each one of the Lord's Home of the New Testament Church's job is to preach the Word, preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's our job.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about the Spirit. This is where the effectual call comes in. The Spirit of God comes alongside the Word of God, and it works.
Amen.
Remember where Jesus said that the Spirit, it's like the wind, but blows where it listeth. You don't see it. You don't know where it goes, but you see the effects.
Yeah.
Well, folks, That's what the Spirit of God does.
Mm-hmm.
The very people that you think are not going to get saved, there's no way, God does it work.
Amen.
God saves them. God changes them. God, through the Spirit of God, does the effectual work.
Mm-hmm.
And works in our hearts and lives and saves them. So the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God says come, and the Bride says come.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice this. Let him that heareth say come. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to make a very strong statement. Nobody will be saved unless they hear the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right?
Right.
Say, well, what about deaf people? I believe this. God gives the written word for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's why tracts are good.
Mm-hmm.
Good tracts, that is. That's why the Word of God is good.
Amen.
We can take it and we can present it to them. But it's God that's got to do the work in their heart. Mm-hmm. Make it effectual. Okay. So, but again, back to the point, let him that hears come. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been working outside? Now, we would do this every Saturday, every evening when Dad would get home from work. We'd go up to the barn. It's about a quarter of a mile down the road. And Mom would go out to the top of a little hill by the house. Grant's been there. By the garage. And if the wind was just right, this is before cell phones, believe it or not. And she'd holler, my dad and myself, Bobby, Troy, come and eat. Well, you better believe I was listening.
Yeah.
And I'd be straining about the time I knew that the lunch call would be coming. And I'd cock my ear a little bit, and sure enough, you'd hear, especially the wind was right. And then we would go, I'd tell Dad, we're going to eat. We'd get in the truck, we'd go up to the house, we'd eat supper or lunch, come on back. But then you know what else had happened? Sometimes we didn't hear. You know what Mom would do? She'd get in her car. She'd drive up the road. Because she made sure we heard.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, folks. God uses His Word. He uses His ministers.
Mm-hmm.
He uses His people.
Mm-hmm.
And He uses means.
Yeah. Amen.
To bring people to Himself.
Amen.
They're going to hear the Word.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hear the Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that's the reason why we have missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have people to go to Israel. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why we have people to go to Nicholasville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there are people here in this area in the buckle of the Bible Belt that has never heard the Gospel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Years ago, coaching Little League football in Somerset, we had this guy that he had a kid on the team. He's a super nice guy, truck driver. Grew up in Berea. He came to me one day, and I'd lost some weight at the time, and he was wanting to lose weight. And that's how we started talking. And then he looked at me one day, and he said, Coach, tell me about faith. And I said, huh? I never heard it put that way before. But he started talking about how that he had been watching me and how he was interested in knowing more about the Christ that I preached to the players and that I prayed and so forth with the kids. He said, Coach, I've been in church, I think he said, 0 times in my life. No one's ever invited me. No one has ever had anything to do with the Lord or with church in my life. I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I started meeting with him. We go to Cracker Brown. We get the grilled portions instead of the fried. And we'd start talking, and we'd start talking about Christ, and we'd start, and finally one day, he called me up and said, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got what, man? What? You're going to have to be more specific. He said, I don't know how to explain it, but the Lord has saved me.
Amen.
And now he's in church, and he's doing very well. But here's the thing, folks. Whether you realize it or not, there is a need for gospel preaching, not only in Nicholasville, but throughout America.
Amen. Yeah.
There are places in Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, that do not have one gospel preaching church in their midst. And I dare say there's places here in Kentucky the same way. Just because it has church over the door doesn't mean it's a gospel preaching church. Oh, but let them hear. Those that hear the gospel, they're the ones that need that, that'll come to Christ. Understand, those that hear the divine summons will be the ones that come to Christ. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now we're familiar with verses 1, 4 through 11. I mean, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, right? That's a popular verse or set of verses. But I want you to read verses 12 and 13. The Bible says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. But I want you to look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you what?
Heard
the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's this Bible. Listen, that is why it's imperative that we preach God's word. That's the reason it's imperative that we preach the gospel. No one's going to come to truth except they hear the truth. They hear the word of God. So again, let him that hears come. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard that divine summons? Have you ever heard the Spirit of God convict you and call you by name?
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the general sense, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. But that convicting clarion call.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says, Troy, Grant, whoever inserts your name, come to me and I will give you rest. I will take your burdens. I will give you the rest that you desire.
Amen.
The problem is the world is looking for rest. They're looking for something. But the problem is they're looking at the wrong things.
Amen.
You know, we could talk about all the things we like to talk about. They're looking for comfort and booze.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for comfort and fornication.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that's doing that. But there's people that's looking for comfort in their religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some way trying to satisfy that urge by being good enough.
Yeah.
Let me tell you from experience, you'll never be good enough.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
They're looking for that satisfaction and their job. Your job will never satisfy you.
Right.
They're looking for it in their money. Your money will never satisfy you. But here's the thing. Your only satisfaction will come through Christ.
Amen.
Do you hear Him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear the Spirit of God calling you? Then come. Then notice. Let him that is thirsty
mm-hmm.
say, come. I think of the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 4. She said, man, I said, give me water. That's what Jesus said. I said, you have nothing to draw with. Then he gave the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, listen, I'll give you drink of water that you'll never thirst again. Well, tell me more about this water.
Amen.
Man, don't you want to never thirst again? Well, listen, she'd been looking for everything. It's what? Five husbands?
Yeah.
The one she was with wasn't even her husband. They weren't married. But here she was. She was looking for satisfaction in love.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's looking for satisfaction in all this stuff. Feel my need. But yet, she couldn't. But here was the one with the ultimate water. I'll take care of that need. So many people, whenever they look at the Scripture and they think of the Gospel, they think to themselves, man, all I've got to do is this, this, and this, and everything will be fine. Now, here's what you need to realize. It's already been done. You need to look to Jesus who died on the cross, who fulfilled the law on every point, and was buried and rose again the third day for your justification, for those that believe. Just that simple. But then finally, I remember me telling you a while ago about the struggles I had. Well, the struggle I had for all those years was these two words. Whosoever will may take the water of life freely. Man, that was confusing. Whosoever. We know what that means. That means anyone. I mean, you know, you can slice it and dice it, and I've seen people try to, with our persuasion, try to change it. No, don't change it. It is what it is. It's anyone.
Yeah.
But then you come to that word will.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone, whenever they think of this, they're like, oh, this is where free will comes in. Let me tell you what free will do. It'll send you to hell. Because what you're doing, folks, if you were worshiping the free will, all that is saying is that your will is free. But it's only free to act within its nature. I want to ask you a question. If you went up here to the top of this hotel and said, you know what? I will myself to fly. I dare you to start flapping your arms, no matter how hard, and just going as hard as you can, and said, I'm going to fly. Yeah, you're going to fly like a rock. Right to the ground. You know why that is? Because your will is not free to fly. You're bound within your nature. Your nature is to fall.
Yeah.
It is the same way with man. Man's will, while it is free, it is only free to act within the confines of its nature. For 18 years, my will was to try to do it on my own.
Yeah.
I think God had to come to me and do a work in my life. You ever been to a funeral home and you get the guy that's in the casket, he gets up and starts walking around saying, thank you for coming today.
Thank you, man. I've known you for so long. Thank you for being here and paying your respects.
No! You know why that is? And I'm not trying to be a smart elk. I'm just trying to use an illustration here. Why is that?
Because he's dead. A dead man is dead. Dead men are only free to act within their will. And that's dead. You can't do nothing. You can't say nothing. You can't get up. How does a dead man come to life?
Imagine, if you will, you were on the operating table. You pass in the middle of surgery. Doctor looks at him and says, well, step back. It's up to them now. You know what? If they want to come back to life, man, they just got to want it. They got to will themselves back to life. No! And again, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just trying to make a point here. Dead men can't do nothing. It takes an outside force. If someone dies on the operating table, they get the paddles out. They try to shock them. Listen, whenever it comes to spiritual death, you're dead.
Yeah.
It takes an outside force. What force is that? God.
Amen.
And He brings that person to life. But John chapter 6 and verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I want you to think about this. No man can. Can is different than may. Can denotes ability.
Mm-hmm.
I used to love doing this when I was a substitute teacher. Mr. McGahan, can I go to the bathroom? I don't know. Can you? Do you have the ability to go potty? Can you? Yes, Mr. McGahan. Then I don't know. I don't know what you can do. Now, if you mean, may I go to the bathroom? Sure. Go on. There's a difference. Can gives the idea of ability.
Mm-hmm.
May gives the idea of permission.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no man can.
Mm-hmm.
No man has the ability in and of themselves to come to God on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Do you know what that word draw means? You ever heard anyone say, God doesn't drag you kicking and screaming?
Yeah, it means drag. You know what that word draw means? I hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah. It literally means drag.
Yeah.
Like a dragnet.
Mm-hmm.
They would fish and then they drag them in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think those fish want to be drug in?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. See, folks, here's the thing. And here's the point. Whosoever will, anyone that has a desire. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem with that. That Greek word there, I think, is thelema. That's hillbilly Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it means a desire. But it means more than your desire.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it gives the idea of a desire that's given you by God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever I came to that, whenever God showed me those things, again, it was like shouting ground. Because I knew that the problem all along wasn't God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, folks. Today, there are good people out there that does not understand these things.
Yeah.
No one, none of us really understand it fully.
Yeah.
Don't get hateful with them.
Amen.
Right.
Man, love them.
Amen.
I remember being a jerk to Grant.
Right.
I'm being serious. I ain't going to tell you. Man, I remember one time we got into it. And of course, if it had been a fight, he'd whoop me. But we were just, we were going at it. And basically, I told him he was ignorant and stupid. And that, how dare he? You know, how dare he question me or blah, blah, blah and stuff. Well, I remember going to class one night. And I was bragging to Brother Sadler. Brother Sadler come about right here. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't mean this as an insult. He looked like Yoda. He had a cane. He had a little wisp of hair on his head. He did. As a matter of fact, my nephews in my ordination, they come running in and said, Uncle Troy, Yoda's here. I said, no, that man's much wiser than you. But here's the thing. Brother Sadler pointed his finger at me. He said, let me tell you something, preacher boy. He said, except for the grace of God, you wouldn't know nothing.
Amen.
You talk about making a big man feel about that tall.
Yeah.
And I ended up having to call Grant and apologize. You talk about hard to do. But you know what? Grant and I have had a great relationship. And he's had questions for me. I've had questions for him. We go back and forth. But here's the thing. We love and we respect one another.
Amen.
But you know what? We loved and respected one another before we came to these things.
Yeah.
It was an agreement.
Yeah.
Folks, don't be a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be one of these people that think to yourself, I got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is just lowly, stupid people. They're created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are saved by the grace of God, they are your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Be gracious. Be loving. Talk to people. Have conversations. But understand this, and I want to say this, if you're here today, you're lost. You need Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You need to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will, anyone that has a desire. Let me ask you. Have you heard? Not just the general call that Jesus Christ came on the cross, came, lived a sinless, perfect life, fulfilled the law on every point, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again. Mm-hmm. But have you heard that effectual call where the Spirit of God is calling to you, saying, come to me. Mm-hmm. Call upon Christ. He's your only hope. Have you heard Him? Then come.
Amen.
Are you thirsty? Are you tired of looking at what this world offers? Quit trying to satisfy your thirst of what you really need with everything else. Trust Christ. Come to the living water.
Amen.
And whosoever will. Anyone that desires to come to Christ, take that living water.
Amen.
Trusting. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried and rose again the third day. Believing that He died for you. And the Bible says, that whosoever will may come.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. God, I pray that You'd make it effectual in people's hearts. We love You and we thank You for all You do. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to page 11. Page 11.